Welcome to Season 5 of Ye Olde Dragon's Library, the storytelling podcast. Each episode this season will be a chapter from the second book in the Enchanted Castle Archives, The Beastly Beauty. In Season 1, our heroine, Ash, was warned multiple times to stay away from the Enchanted Castle, and if she ever saw it coming toward her, to run. Now, she finds the Enchanted Castle, or perhaps more accurately, it finds her. Will prophecy come true? Can she escape when she finds out the truth of Cecil's warning that every castle wants a princess? Listen and find out. Chapter 19. "And that is likely what saved you," Cecil said. "If you gave in to vanity and greed and took a big flashy crown, the castle would have acted on that flaw in you. Instead, it adapted its tactics to suit the person you proved to be. And honestly, if you think about it, you're a much better choice as princess of the castle. I would never advise you to step into that trap. Yet consider how much good the Enchanted Castle could do the entire world if someone sensible and not swayed by riches and power were in charge there. How long would I stay sensible and grounded if I let it turn me into a princess? As you said, the magic is sick, broken right now. The castle wants fluff, someone to pamper and cosset and treat like a pet, not someone to take care of it and put things right. How long can I resist such tricks once I start giving in?" Ash sighed. "I need to talk to Philby. I need to visit her library again." Cecil agreed with her and expressed some regret that he couldn't go with her. Ash remembered how she and the ring had enjoyed their time in the Time Pool library, all the information the ring had absorbed, and different things they had discussed sharing with Cecil when they saw him again. She hoped the ring would remember those things when he was finally restored. She hoped she could come back soon and spend more time with Cecil. For now, though, she had to move on. Godric's team had felt some tendrils of testing, seeking magic more than 2 weeks before Ash showed up. Chances were good either Justiciar Camwell's people had been looking for her and would come back regularly to check, or Lathia's magicians were seeking her. It was best for everyone if she moved on quickly and made her way to Willemsport and Philby. Ash left at night, with Fang bounding ahead of her, glowing in the moonlight and appearing to float above the treetops for minutes at a time. Her head felt jammed full of all the things she had learned from Twink and discussed with Cecil, and she couldn't resist chewing on her resentment at having to leave so soon. She had hoped to spend the entire winter with Cecil. So much had been disrupted by her unplanned stay in the Enchanted Forest. She even resented her commitment to become a courier for Philby, and that was ridiculous. Had her stay in the castle stolen some of her common sense and practicality? "Maybe it put some of that fluff and feathers into me and I can't get it out," she muttered to Garen and the quiet, snowy road ahead of her. The horse's ears flicked, and the moonlit, open countryside didn't answer. Ash decided she preferred it that way, although she wouldn't have minded if the ring suddenly awoke and started speaking to her again, even if it lectured her on all the mistakes she had made since he went silent. At the crossroads, midway between midnight and dawn, the crown buzzed through the padding around it and against Ash's thigh. She resisted the temptation to swat it like an annoying fly. The bag that held it twitched, jerking in the direction of the road to her right. According to Cecil's map, that road would take her halfway to the Tayani Cliffs. To head to Willemsport, she needed to keep going straight, heading south. Shaking her head, she resisted the urge to tell the crown to shut up. She wasn't going to go anywhere near the portal in the Tayani Cliffs. The smart move was to keep going forward, but she couldn't. The sporadic, deep marks of Fang bounding through the fresh snow showed he had taken the road to the left. He had always warned her of trouble lying in wait, so Ash chose to wait for Fang to come back, rather than forging ahead and making him catch up with her. There had to be a reason why he had gone down that road. Maybe some of his bunny magic had warned him not to continue down the highway they had been traveling. Or he was just hungry and needed to stop and hunt down a snack. Or he felt dawn approaching, even if several hours away, and he wanted to find a place to settle in for a good day's sleep, rather than riding in the basket behind her saddle. Sometimes Fang was rather hard to predict. Ash decided to count her heartbeats until she reached 100. If she didn't see or hear signs of Fang by then, she would continue forward. A long wait meant he was hunting. Any other activity would allow him to return to her much sooner. She reached 42 when a chattering and squealing erupted from the trees, maybe 200 yards down the left-hand road. Before she could turn to look, expecting to see Fang leaping from the shadows, a flicker of movement on the road ahead of her caught her attention. A dusty, purplish cloud billowed up from the snowy road and spread to swirl up snow from the ditches on either side. Lightning crackled in the center of the cloud. Fang let out that roar she had heard only one time before. She yanked on her horse's reins and turned to see Fang emerging from the trees with another purple cloud following him. The crown bag thumped against her thigh, swinging out and pointing directly to the right. Ash took 2 heartbeats to decide. Twink had said the crown would protect her. Trust the magic she was coming to know, or the magic churning up the countryside from 2 directions, aiming toward her? The magic nasty enough, terrifying enough to make Fang flee, with his eyes burning red? Before she could dig her heels into Garen, her mount fled, stretching out into a gallop fleet enough to make the wind scream in her ears. Ash bent low over the horse's neck and held on tight. She raised her arm to look under it and back to check on Fang. He was catching up. More important, was that cloud catching up? Why purple? Logic said the purple sky was so called because its magic created a purple light. There was something seriously wrong with a band of magic users who were so ostentatious. It felt like a waste of energy. Fang caught up and bounded alongside her, great, low, long, distance-eating leaps. Ash reached out to pull him up into the saddle. Her arm bounced wildly in the resistance of the air and Garen's leaping strides. Fang bared his fangs at her, then leaped forward, faster. In a few heartbeats, he was a length ahead of her, then 2, then 3. Ash tried to laugh at the idiocy of thinking he needed her help. Over the scream of the wind in her ears and the drumbeat of hooves against the snow-streaked road, she heard a churning, roaring sound. Was the cloud getting closer, catching up with her? Was that the sound of the cloud or something cloaked inside it? Ash refused to look back. The crown bag thudded against her leg, out of rhythm with the horse's stride. What did the wretched thing want? Ahead, the road branched in 3 directions. She searched for signs of Fang's footprints in the snow. The moonlight was fading. Garen turned down the left branching road before she could decide. She silently pleaded with Athiosius, her thoughts keeping pace with the clatter of hoofbeats. The road plunged downward between massive black trees that created a canopy overhead where their ancient branches interwove. Water sparkled ahead of her. Then the horse was splashing through, hooves rattling on rocks. She braced for that jarring moment when Garen stepped into a hole in the riverbed, but moments later they were up on the opposite bank. For a moment, she wished the old fables were true and evil magic couldn't cross running water. Ash pushed that thought aside, scolding herself for getting distracted. Was that what fear did? Stole common sense? Stole the attention and energy she needed to keep herself alive and free? The road angled upward again, leading to massive walls of rock that stretched up to the sky, blocking her path. The Tayani Cliffs. Ash yanked on the reins, intending to turn around, with a half-formed notion she would find the purple clouds weren't there anymore. It was just an illusion, a nasty trick of the crown to force her through the portal and back to the enchanted forest. Shrieking, whipping bits of ice and pebbles and grit and bark, twin purple whirlwinds raced up the bank from the stream. Ash froze, blinking, trying to understand what she saw, but her brain didn't want to recognize. Were those faces inside the clouds? She turned and slapped Garen's flank hard, Morris the vampire's head had elongated just like that before he bit Fang. The crown flopped against her leg. Ash snatched at the bag, yanking hard enough to snap the leather thong that held it to her saddle. She clutched it against her chest with one arm and clung to Garen's neck with the other. "All right, you're supposed to protect me," she snarled. "Do your job." Light erupted through the leather of the bag and the cloth padding the crown. The growling scream of the whirlwinds behind her went up 2 octaves, then seemed to break with a clattering sound and died. Fang leaped out of a passageway that opened up to her right, bounced over her, and headed down another passageway through the rock. The cliffs were a fractured series of impossibly narrow canyons, where veins of softer rock had been worn down by wind and water over the centuries. They formed a natural maze. Legends claimed that people had gotten lost among the tall, winding, crooked passageways, never to emerge. The light from the bag faded as Garen slowed to deal with the rubble filling the passageway. Ash looked back. No sign of the whirlwinds. How long would that last? She knew better than to hope the burst of light had wiped them out in one blow. Nothing was ever that easy. The crown buzzed and hummed through the padding and bag. Ash knew what it wanted. Could she trust it? Fang bounced over her head, ricocheted off the sheer sides of the passageway 4 times, and came back to rest a few yards in front of her. He breathed heavily, loudly, and the angry red manic gleam had faded from his eyes. His ears drooped with exhaustion. That decided her. Ash yanked the bag open, snapping the leather drawstring. She tossed the bag aside and the blanket padding the crown a moment later, pulled her hood down, and took a deep breath before slapping the crown on her head. "Help me lose them," she said, her voice breaking with the effort not to snarl. Cecil had emphasized that politeness, asking instead of demanding, always helped when dealing with magical things on the verge of becoming aware. "Please." The passageway wasn't wide enough to turn her horse around without tricky maneuvering that would waste time. She might have to dismount. Ash urged the horse forward. She held out her hand, and Fang leaped up into her arms. He clutched at her, and she fought a sob at the rapid flutter of his pulse, the bellows heaving of his breath. Something rattled and whispered behind them. She refused to look back. The crown was silent and still. She hoped that was a good sign. Light angled into the passageway they followed, showing an intersecting crevice through the rock. Ash silently commanded the crown to tell her which way to go. It remained quiet. She let Garen choose. They kept going. After 12 paces, the passageway widened. They could turn around here and go back the way they had come, if it was safe. A whiff of something foul drifted to her on the flutter of breeze coming from behind them. Ash nudged the horse to move faster. He didn't fight her. Fang shifted on her lap and twisted to look around her. "Are they coming?" she whispered. He tightened his hold on her, his claws digging through the tough material of her trousers and jacket. That was answer enough. Ash nudged Garen. Again he obeyed, moving faster, at a trot just strong enough to make her jolt a little in the saddle. The passageway curved to the right, and a few steps later opened into a bowl that took them down a gradual incline. Everything was shadows and snow and mud and stone. Ash turned her head, looking in all directions, trying to spot another split in the bowl where another passageway led out. An angry rebuke caught in her throat as she inhaled and caught the scent of ripening apples and cherries. She followed her nose as a warm breeze wrapped around her like a gentle hand. Perhaps 1/3 of the way around the bowl, to her right, green light flickered and danced, like sunlight through thick branches tossed by an afternoon breeze. Ash whispered her thanks to Athiosius and the crown and tugged the reins to get Garen moving. She needn't have bothered. He sniffed loudly and his ears perked up and he trotted straight toward the light. Behind them, a clattering and scraping and wailing spilled out into the bowl. Ash looked back and saw the purple whirlwinds spill out. She choked on laughter as they stumbled and slid down the slope of the bowl toward the pile of debris in the center. The 2 purple clouds collided and bounced off each other. Ash nudged Garen faster, an image in her head of those clouds bouncing straight across the center of the bowl to cut off her escape. Maybe 20 steps until they reached that green light. Ash bit her lip and refused to look back. A sound like a strangled, breathless cry echoed around the bowl, then that scraping sound returned. Halfway there, the slope turned upward and Ash had a brief, frightening image of Garen's hooves sliding in that water and wind-scoured smooth stone. 5 steps. Fang chirped. She looked back just as the horse's nose went into the light. "Go, go, go," she yelped, and dug her heels in as the battling clouds of purple suddenly grew huge, filling up the space behind her. "Close, please close. Don't let them through," she ordered the crown. They stumbled out into warm air and sunshine and burst through a wall of trees at the top of a slope down into a river plain. Ash held on to Fang with one arm and the reins with the other when she wanted to clutch at the crown, afraid it would bounce off her head as Garen jolted down the slope. She glimpsed twists and turns in the river ahead of them, places where it turned entirely around and created a handful of small islands, before plunging through rapids, then down a short drop that cast up spray in all directions. That had to be the Snarl River ahead of her, if Cecil's map and the lore he used to build it were correct. Kispies nested in those clusters of trees on either side of the falls. Common sense said to steer wide around them, if even a third of the stories about Kispies were true. Shrieks of outrage erupted behind her. Ash looked back in time to see a man tumble down the slope after her, leaving a trail of purple sparks. A purple cloud burst through a slit in the air between the trees, and a moment later shattered into more sparks, spewing out a second man, who followed the first. Fang chuckled and chirped and wriggled against Ash's arm around him. The manic gleam returned to his eyes. He wanted to fight. "Are you sure?" She had her doubts. After all, why would only 2 magicians come after her unless they were strong enough not to need greater numbers? The world turned upside down. Purple sparks filled the air around her, biting and buzzing. Garen reared, shrieking pain, lashing out with his forelegs. Ash went flying, grappling for the reins. Fang bounced off her chest, snarling and chattering, aiming for the 2 staggering magicians. Stars filled Ash's eyes. Then she felt the impact, first the side of her head, then her back. She rolled, the breath knocked out of her, flipping and rolling, lopsided, until her forehead slammed into something hard. More stars. She smelled blood, tasted it. Through the muffled thudding of her heart, the rasping of her breath, she heard Fang scream and roar. Then, further away, the furious shrieks of the 2 magicians. The scrabbling of feet on moss and stones, all fading away. Panic had her struggling upward through the blackness, trying to suck her down. Ash opened her eyes. The light hurt, like broken glass jabbing straight through her eyes into her brain. Nausea surged, and her entire body shrieked pain as she spasmed, trying to heave. She clasped her head, trying to keep it from shattering like a melon dropped from a tower window. The cool silver braid of the crown hummed against her fingers. Hot wet slicked one hand. "Fang," she whispered. She couldn't get the breath to yell. Yet what could he do to help her? Garen huffed and hooves clopped on the ground nearby. Then warmth and damp prodded her side. She got one eye open to see the horse standing over her. Ash blinked, unable to comprehend for a few seconds why he was still with her. Other than war horses, most horses fled at the smell of blood. Courier horses were well trained. Garen huffed again and moved up her side. His loose reins brushed against her arm. Ash took a few breaths, each one deeper than the last, bracing herself, trying to convince herself she wouldn't shatter if she tried to sit up. She grasped the reins. One hand was slippery with blood. She needed a few seconds to figure out what to do, then wiped the wet away on her jacket. With a firmer grip, she pulled herself upright, holding on to the reins. Garen backed up. She swallowed down a whimper and the surging of her stomach when that simple, slow movement made the world tip and spin around her again. Clutching the reins, Ash waited until the world in her stomach and sense of balance settled again, then reached higher on the bridle. Garin raised his head, and she nearly wept with gratitude that he understood what she needed. Her legs dragged on the ground for what felt like hours before she got them steady under herself. She pressed her face against his head and gasped for breath, and refused with all her force of will to collapse or heave or let go. Fang still had not returned by the time she gingerly shuffled down the horse's side and clawed her way up into the saddle. Ash blinked blood and sweat out of her eyes and turned Garin around enough to see up the slope. What had happened to Fang? Had the magicians killed him? Or were they still running, with the furious bunny shrieking and gnashing on their heels? If the magicians had won, they would be down here right now, finishing her off. Her eyes ached, the daylight too bright to stand. Maybe Fang had to find a shadowed place to hide until the light dimmed enough he could safely emerge. A few thoughts came through the throbbing, and fearing the bones of her skull would shift and let everything fall out, she needed to find a safe place to hide. Her camp, close to the portal that would take her to Camerlang. She needed to make a fire and brew a potion to soothe the agony in her head. She especially needed to get away from the river before the smell of her blood drew the Kispies. They weren't exactly fairy kin, but they were tiny and warlike, brandishing a dozen tiny, razor-sharp weapons each, looking something like furry insects. "Please, Fang, find me," she whispered, and even that effort at speaking hurt. Maybe she had broken her jaw, along with half a dozen spots in her skull. Tugging gingerly at the reins, Ash turned Garin and headed down the river valley. The crown hummed against her skin. She reached up to remove it, but stopped, the effort making her arms ache so she wanted to weep. Even crying hurt. The crown hummed, softer, settling into a soothing pattern. She allowed her breathing to echo it, and nearly wept again when the aching faded. Slowly, far too slowly, the world around her grew dim. Ash gave up the fight to keep her eyes open. She fumbled the tongue clicks that told the horse to return to a familiar place. Garin was smart. Could he understand that the signal to go home meant go through the portal? Would Athiosius be kind, and the portal to Camerlang would be open when they found it? Through the gray filling her head, the hum became the lullaby Granny Phlox crooned over the 12 orphans when they were all together in her cottage. Ash smiled, gladly slipping into a dream that she had come home. She was small again, small enough for Granny Phlox to cradle her with one arm and stomp up the narrow stairs to the cottage attic full of bunks and cribs to put her to bed. The dream grew real enough. She tasted the warm milk, heavy with honey, to cover the bitter taste of healing herbs, felt it sliding thick and soothing down her throat. Real enough, Ash feared when that warmth hit her tender stomach, so she nearly jerked herself awake. Cool hands stroked the sides of her face, soothing, and the eruption never came. She pressed her face against a cool, smooth surface and gladly slid downward into hazy gray flowing sleep and the touch of satin on her skin and thick pillows cradling her tender head. We hope you enjoyed today's chapter. For more information on all the books and series featured in this podcast, or to purchase the ebook or audiobook for future reading and listening pleasure, please visit yeolddragonbooks.com. You can also find more information about our books and purchase ebooks on our Patreon page, Ye Old Dragons Library. Please consider supporting the podcast to gain access to free stories or discounts, or a chance to purchase a new book in advance of release. Thanks for listening to this episode of Ye Old Dragons Library.